Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Hotel Mars. My colleague and co-host and co-pilot, David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show, is here. And we're headed to the Kuiper Belt, way beyond the planets, even beyond Pluto. Thanks to a new publication at Nature Magazine, the top flight peer-reviewed magazine of science and astronomy on the planet. And we welcome Professor Bruno Morgado. Bruno is in Brazil. He is the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro's Valongo Observatory, as well as the National Observatory, as well as the Interinstitutional Astronomy Laboratory. He's an astronomer. And Bruno, with his colleagues, have published an article that takes us to the Kuiper Belt and a dwarf planet. I beg pardon, that's what it is in nature. I don't mean to speak poorly of it. A dwarf planet called Kawar. Bruno, a very good evening to you. It is exciting to talk to an astronomer with a new discovery. Kawar is something you've known about, but how do you perceive it? How do you perceive changes in Kawar? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. So Kawar is a minor body in our solar system. It's a candidate to be a dwarf planet. We are not sure if it is a dwarf planet yet. And he's just a little bit further than Pluto. So it's something about 43 astronomical units. And this object, it's very small, and it does produce light. They only reflect the light of our sun. So it's very hard to observe this kind of object. So for us, we use a very interesting technique. The name is stellar occultations. And this technique is just, we observe this object as this object passes in front of a star. So when we do that, we are able to see the shadow of the object and get the information that we want from it.
So it passes in front of a star, and you then perceive on the basis of your calibration how big it is, what it's made of, and in this instance, what's around it. David?
Why were you looking at Kawar in the first place? Was this an accidental discovery, serendipity, or what about it wanted you to look at it anyway?
Okay, so first of all, we are not looking only to Kawar. This is a project that we are looking to many other minor bodies. And the idea is to get their physical parameters, because these objects, they are almost, they're the remnants of the solar system formation. So they are like the bricks that combining themselves together and becomes the Earth, the Moon, and many other objects here on our solar system. So the idea is to contribute to the idea of how these objects are formed, how they evolved with time, and get more about this. The discovery, we are not looking for a ring exactly, but we are also looking to it, because the main goal was to get the physical parameters of the body. And we already know that some small bodies has rings, so we also look to this.
Yes, it's the ring. And it's the ring itself that is the most interesting. You say that rings are not unusual in small bodies. Is that correct, Professor?
It's unusual. It's not a novelty. In 2012, 2013, the first ring around the small body was discovered. It was around the Centaur Charicle. And then in 2017, we discovered a ring around the dwarf planet Haumea. So Kawar is the third example of this ring. So it's kind of a new thing, but also it's show us that maybe there's many more out there that we just didn't see yet.
David?
To qualify for a dwarf planet, what does this minor planet have to do? You said it's not yet a dwarf planet. So how does it become a dwarf planet?
Okay, so the International Astronomical Union creates something through some categories of the objects of the small bodies in the solar system. So we have the planets, we have the asteroids, we have dwarf planets, and this kind of thing. And for a minor body to become a dwarf planet, he has mainly two things. He should be orbiting around the sun. It couldn't be a satellite, for instance. And also it should be big enough that it is something like spherical. So we call this hydrodynamical equilibrium. So he needs to be something like a spherical body. But Kawar was discovered in 2002. So it's an object that we know very little about. So we just don't have enough information yet to be sure that, okay, so this, the better classification for this object is a dwarf planet or not.
Not only does it have a ring, but it has a moon. However, how did you discover the ring? I understand you use the transit system to see the to recognize Kawar, but the ring, how do you do that?
Exactly the same way. This technique is very sensitive to the presence of rings. For instance, using this exact technique, we discovered the rings of Uranus and the rings of Neptune. So Saturn's, when we think of rings, the first thing comes to mind is Saturn. We have beautiful rings, and that we can see using a small telescope. And we have known these rings since Galileo, right? And Jupiter, we discovered its rings using the Voyager spacecraft. So all the other rings in the solar system was discovered using this exact technique, using the stellar occultations. For the minor bodies, Charicle and Haumea, and also for Kawar, we also use this exact technique. So when the object passes in front of a star, not only the object passes in front of a star, but the rings also passes in front of a star. So we see some small dips in the light of the star that is caused by the ring.
I see. So the ring, the first time there's a dip, it's the front of the ring, then there's the planet, and then there's the second type of the ring. Does that allow you to measure how far away the ring is from the planet?
Exactly, because we know the velocity the shadow is moving. So when we put everything together, we can say that how far the ring is and also the width of the ring, how this ring is. So we have a lot of physical information about it.
Wonderful. David?
There's a great picture of the planet and the ring on the ESA website for this story. Is this a real picture or are they simulating what the ring looked like? It looks like you can see the conglomerate that the ring is made of. So I'm wondering if that's actually an astronomical picture you took or if it's somehow computer engineered.
Yeah, it's not a real image. We cannot see details of this object using the usual observation. So even if you use something like the James Webb Space Telescope, they are giving beautiful images around the universe. But for this object, these objects are very, very small. So it's something like to really see how difficult it is to observe this kind of object. It's something like trying to see a 1 cent coin, something like 100 kilometers away. So it's very far away. It's a very small thing that we are trying to see.
All right.
So we don't have the details. We only see the shadow as this object passes in front of the star. That image, we created that image based on what we know of the ring and what we know of Kaur.
We've established that.
So it's only an illustration, yeah.
We've established that Kaur is trans-Neptunian. We've established that it's small, about half the size of Pluto. We've established that it has a ring and a moon, all wonderful. Now we come to the part where there are question marks. What is the Roche limit, and how does Kaur violate the Roche limit?
Okay, so the Roche limit is a theory that was created in the 1850, give or take, and was French astronomer, Edouard Hoche. And when he created this theory, we only know the Saturn rings. And okay, so the idea is quite simple. We have this limit. If you have a satellite that goes nearby the planet and crosses this limit, the satellite will break due to the gravitational forces and will become something like a ring. And if we have a ring and these rings go outside this limit, the gravitational force will not keep the ring separate anymore, and they will start to grow together and become a moon. So the main idea is if we are inside this ring, we have rings. If we are outside this limit, you have moons. So, and this has worked so far for all the dense rings that we know. All of them are very close to the Roche limit or inside the Roche limit. But Kaur is different. The ring of Kaur is something like 400 kilometers away. It's very far away. And 4,000 kilometers away. And it's very, very far away. But the Roche limit is close to the planet. It's close to Kaur itself. So it's something like 117,000. So at the end of the day, it's more than double the position of the ring from where we would expect the Roche limit to be. So this ring shouldn't be there. It should become a satellite.
Right. David?
Any explanation for why it's not a satellite, or is that something to be determined?
Yeah, we don't have a full explanation yet. We have theories. And first of all, it could be a transient feature, right? It could be a ring that it is right now becoming a satellite. This is very interesting because we would be able to see firsthand the formation of a satellite, formation of a moon. But at the end of the day, this is very unlikely because this formation process, you only take something like 10 to 20 years. So it's very fast. If you're considering the history of the solar system, the 4 billion years. So it's very fast. The formation of a moon is very fast. So it's very unlikely that we are in the exact time to be able to observe this kind of thing. The main idea is this ring should be stable because we need to see it right now. And to keep this ring stable, we need something to keep the velocity of the particles of this ring at high speed. So we need something to increase the velocity of these particles. We have some theories. We can have some gravitational forces, some interactions between Kaur moon Wayward, or also Kaur itself, making this ring, the particles of these rings, faster than it should be for the classical theories. We may have another moon that we just don't observe it yet. So it could be something interesting there. And also we have the modeling of the collisions between the particles. Depending on the model of these collisions, it could be enough to maintain the ring as a ring.
We're speaking with Bruno Morgado. He is part of the research team that has not only challenged everybody with a not yet dwarf planet named Kaur, but also with what appears to be a violation or a disruption of a neat little theory that's worked so far. When you're inside this distance, you're a ring. When you're outside this distance, you're a moon. Not this time. When we come back, what does the professor need to clarify this unusual event. David Livingston, Dr. Space, this is Hotel Mars. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.